Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you would like to turn with me to the book of John, John chapter 1, that's where our message will take place today, John chapter 1. And this message is going to deal with some doctrinal, fundamental facts concerning God, man, and salvation. Some very important and very critical facts concerning God, man, and salvation. And I want to, as clearly as I can, set forth some absolute truths that must be declared and must be understood. They must be. Must be declared, must be understood if we're going to have a right view, if we're going to have a correct view of God's dealings with us. We need to have a correct view of God's dealings with us, because many people do not have a correct view, and it's critical that we do. I want to begin our message today by stating the fact that God purposed the work of salvation for His people. And I want to repeat that. God purposed the work of salvation for His people. On purpose. God, He did that. Salvation, there's nothing about salvation that's left up to chance. Nothing. Everything with God is on purpose. It is particular. It is ordered. It is secure. And God chose a particular people to give that purposed, ordered, secured salvation to. In the Scriptures, they are called His elect. And you can read it. You can look up the word elect, elected, election, those kinds of words. But God has an elect people. And in declaring that truth, I want us to realize and I want us to understand two things about it. Number one, only God's elect are going to be saved. God is God Almighty. God does not try to do anything. He does what He has purposed to do. God has never tried to save anybody. God saved His people. And only God's elect are going to be saved. That's the first thing I want us to understand. But the second thing is this. Had God not chosen to elect a people, had He not chosen a particular people, no one would be saved. No one would be saved. People think that God's election is an excluding thing. Well, God chose these four and no more. That's not how it is at all. God's election is an including thing. Here's the fact of the matter. Only God's elect will be saved. And the reason is because had God not elected a people, no one would be saved. No one. So, I want us to understand this. Election is one of the sweetest declarations that could ever be told. I just started this by telling you I want to declare something that must be told. Election is one of the sweetest declarations that could ever be told. Election is the kindness of God Almighty to a bunch of undeserving sinners like you and me. A That's what election is. It is God's kindness. It is a precious kindness from God to sinners. It is a joyful thing. It is a happy thing. It's something that all of God's people who know something of their sin will cry, thank God for. Thank God for His election. Election is God choosing to save a sinner in spite of the sinner. That's what election is. We can see that in the first verse that we read here, John chapter 1. Look with me, if you would, at verse 11. It says, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. What do you think? Should He have saved them? He came unto His own, and His own rejected Him, would not receive Him. Does that sound like people who are worthy of being saved? His own received Him not. Election is God choosing to save a sinner in spite of that sinner. Election is God choosing to show kindness and to show mercy to a sinner in spite of that sinner. The reason that we confidently know, confidently, that had God not chosen to save His people, no one would be saved, the reason we know that is because not one soul on this earth wanted Him. Not one soul on this earth wanted Him to save them. In their flesh, not one soul on this earth desired Him. Not one soul, the Scripture says, received Him. And when you look up the definition of that word, received, it means no one would take Him. No one would take Him. No one. And it's the truth. It is the truth. Men and women have a God and a Jesus that they have made up in their minds that they like and they will receive and they will take. But it's not the God and Lord Jesus Christ declared in the Scriptures. It's not the one who chooses who He will save. It's not the one who has an elect and only saves that elect. And when men and women find out who He truly is, the flesh naturally rejects Him. And the flesh says, I don't want that. I don't want Him to be my God. I don't want Him to be my Savior. That's in the heart of every man and woman on this earth. No one naturally desires Him. He came unto His own, and His own would not even receive Him. And how amazing is that? He is life. Life came. Salvation came. Redemption came to the ones that He chose to save, and they did not, they wouldn't take Him. They would not take Him. And that can be said of every man and woman that's born onto this earth, born into sin. We, by our nature, would not take Him, did not want Him. Over in Isaiah 53, if you're turning with me and want to look at Isaiah 53, the heading at the top of my page says, the humiliation and sufferings of Christ. All right, this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody can say, well, how is it that Isaiah wrote of the Lord Jesus Christ? Every word in the Scripture is speaking of Christ. This is all concerning Christ. Every word in the Old Testament is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis 1:1 is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see that in just a second. But right here in Isaiah 53, verse 1 says, Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. We. Isaiah said, we. Isaiah wasn't even alive in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he said, we. And every man and woman needs to say that. Verse 4, he said, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That's what we wanted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we can clearly see that God chose to have mercy on his people in spite of them. In spite of them. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, we were chosen to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God did it. God did it. So back over in John chapter 1, back in our text here, John chapter 1, verse 11, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, did not want him, would not have him. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, and that means as many as were forced to receive him. It doesn't say as many as accepted him, as many as changed their mind and decided to accept him. No, it says as many as received him in spite of what they wanted. As many as his grace irresistibly came to. It goes on to say, to them gave he power, the right or the privilege is what that means. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That means they were arrested. They were apprehended. They were laid hold of by power, his power. They were caused to come. And that's always the case. That's always how it is for all of God's people. They are laid hold of and caused to come, ordered to come, commanded to come. Look with me at Acts chapter 13. This is a wonderful verse of Scripture, and it very clearly declares this. Acts 13, verse 44 says, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now watch verse 48. It says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. As many as were ordained to it believed. It doesn't say as many as believed were ordained to it. It doesn't say that. It says as many as were ordained. Had they not been ordained to it, they would not have believed. But they were, so they did. And that's what verse 13 tells us back in John chapter 1. Back in the text here, it says, verse 11 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13 says, which were born. Now this is why they received him. This is what their election was unto, which were born, which were given life, which were saved, which were redeemed, Verse 13 goes on to say, not of blood. Now, that's not speaking of the blood of Christ. We are saved in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying not of our own blood. Not of blood, he said. Some didn't receive him and some did. So everyone is not going to be saved. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The wrath of God abides on him. So everyone is not going to be saved. Salvation does not run through everyone's family tree. You know, people just assumed, well, you know, everybody's saved. Grandparents, parents, aunts, uncles, siblings, cousins, we're all saved. Everyone who dies, people say, well, they're in a better place now. Everybody's saved. Well, none would receive our Lord, and none will receive Him outside of Him choosing to receive them. So the first thing we need to realize is salvation is not to every soul. Salvation is to His particular people that He has chosen to save. It's not in a family tree. It's not in a nationality. He said, this is not by blood. It's not by our bloodline, and it's not by a nationality. It's not by, you know, any type of pedigree or history or anything like that. I'm not saved because I was, you know, born to a particular set of parents who were saved, and I'm not saved because I was born into a nation that, for the most part, calls itself a Christian nation. Over in Romans chapter 2, it says, verse 28, it says, He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but He is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. So what that means is men are not made to be children of God by way of their own nation, not by way of their own tradition, not by way of their own religion. God chose who He would have mercy on. God chose who He would call to Himself. And in Revelation 5, verse 9, He said it was a people out of every tribe, nation, kindred, and tongue on this earth. He's good. He has poured out His blood on a people from all over this world, out of every generation. Christ died on the cross for a number that no man can number, the Scripture says. But it's not to every soul. That would make the blood of Christ of none effect to some. If Christ died for everybody, but some ended up in hell, then Christ's blood for that person was a failure. And He is not a failure. Not at all. So back in John chapter 1, verse 13 says that receiving Christ and receiving life, being made to be a child of God, is not of blood. It's not because of anything about a man. Not because of his race, his place, his face. Verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. This is important. So important. It's not because of anything about a man. It's not because of anything in a man. And I want to repeat that. And that's what this is saying. Salvation is not because of anything about a man. And it's not because of anything in a man. It's not because of man's will. It is not because of man's will. People talk about man's free will. I know you've heard that. People talk about man's free will and man's decision in salvation. It is not because of man's decision. It's not. In spite of man's decision. We've already established what man's decision was. Man rejected God. That was his decision. Man sinned against God and rebelled against God. Salvation is in spite of man's sinful decision to reject God. So it is most definitely not of the will of the flesh, because that's what the will of sinful flesh is. If you look with me at John chapter 5, our Lord said in John chapter 5, verse 40, and this is concerning sinful man and his sinful will, his sinful flesh. He said in John 40, "You will not come to me that you might have life." And that's the truth about man. He said, "I receive not honor from men." And that's the truth. The only way that people truly honor Him is if God has put His Spirit in a man or a woman, causing that man or woman to honor Him and praise Him. He said in verse 42, "I know you that you have not the love of God in you." It's tough to hear, isn't it? He said, "I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive." He said, "You won't receive me." He came unto his own, and his own received him not. "But another man comes to you in his own name, and you'll receive him." Somebody comes preaching another Jesus who is not the one declared in the Scripture, men will widely receive him. "Oh yeah, we love Jesus. But you declare this one, and the flesh will not naturally receive him." Verse 44, he said, "How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only?" It comes from God only. So, he's speaking to all men and women in the flesh. In Romans 3, it says in verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." It's tough, isn't it? But it's true. So it is most certainly not in the will of the flesh. Salvation is not. Romans 9 says, verse 11, it says, "The children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." That's tough to hear, isn't it? But that's the truth of God's Word. Verse 14 says, "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Romans 9 verse 16 says, "So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." It's of God. It is of God. And that's what our text, John chapter 1, says. Verse 13 says, "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man." No, we can't decide to save ourselves, and no one else can decide to save us. A grandmother can't pray a grandchild into heaven, and a preacher can't soul win somebody into heaven. You know, people think they're soul winners, and people think they're the ones leading people to salvation. God does not use the works of men to save His people. God used the works of Jesus Christ alone. It was the work of the cross of Christ alone. It was the blood of Jesus Christ alone. Not man's blood, His blood. Not man's work, His work. Alone. So God's chosen people are not born to eternal life of their own blood. They're not born of the will of the flesh. They're not born of the will of another man or woman. How are they born? The end of verse 13 plainly says, "But of God." They are born of God. It's a work that God does start to finish. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "Of God are you in Christ Jesus." Of God. The birth of life into being a child of God, that birth was by the will of God and the blood of God, born in His Spirit, washed in His blood, the song says. This is my story. This is my song. And here's the comfort in all of this. You say, well, I know God elected a people. Did He elect me? Well, Paul said, we're bound to give thanks, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, meaning God's Spirit came and did the work, and belief of the truth. I ask you this question. You've read it with me. You've read what God has said concerning these things. Has He given you a heart to believe Him? If He has, then you're one of His elect. Because all of His elect receive faith to believe Him. And those who do not receive faith to believe Him do not have the promise, the evidence of being His elect. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if that fear has come to you and said, I see that He has an elect people. And He's going to save His elect people. And only His elect people are going to be saved. If that fear comes to you and you say, am I one of them? Rest assured. Find peace. Find comfort in the faith that He has given to you in His Word. All who are born of God will believe Him. All who are born of God will see it in the Word. And they will bow to it, and they will say, amen, you're God, I'm not. And I see you were good and kind, and I rejected you. God be merciful to me. God be merciful to me. Of God are we in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless that word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.